Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, back almost 20 years ago, our congregation was sending Andy and Melissa Johnson to Burkina Faso, Africa. And right after they had gone, Larry and Elmer were at an event at Abilene Christian University. And while they were there, they interacted with a missions professor by the name of Wendell Broom. And for you to really appreciate this story, you need to know that Wendell Broom looked like what I imagine an Old Testament patriarch would look like. He was old and wise and gray and had a long beard and just had the voice to match. And he met Elmer and he met Larry and made the connection because he knew Andy and Melissa and where we were sending them. And he, in his deep growling voice, said that 10th and Broad was sending Andy and Melissa Johnson into the very gates of hell. I'm not exactly sure what Elmer did at that moment. I don't think he told Linda that story until years after Andy and Melissa came back to the States for good. And I'm telling that story this morning just because it's a really good story. But if it was true for the Johnsons going to Burkina Faso, it is maybe even more true for the new family that we are sending into the Med Rim. And we announced last week that through an incredible series of events that God alone has orchestrated, we have the honor and the privilege of participating in this great work that God is doing. And we are going to be the sending and supporting congregation for Aniel and Elvis and for their son Moses as they go into what is known as the House of Islam. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic this morning, but I do want you to understand just exactly what we are stepping into and what is going to be required of us. It makes me think of the time that Jesus got into the boat with his disciples, and Matthew and Mark and Luke, all three, use the phrase, and he went over to the other side of the lake. And when Scripture used that phrase, that he went over to the other side, that phrase was fraught with meaning. Because the other side of the lake was enemy territory. It was enemy territory politically in that day, and it was enemy territory spiritually. And what confronted Jesus the very moment that he arrived on the other side, if you remember, was a legion of demons. A legion of demons who had inhabited one man, terrorized him, and through him had terrorized the entire community. Now, Andy has shared with me, after the fact, some of the encounters that he and his team had with spiritual forces. And they were real and they were powerful. And that same thing is going to be true for Aniel and for Elvis and for the other families who are going to the Med Rim, because the entire culture, political and spiritual atmosphere of the place where they are going has been built in opposition to Jesus Christ. And Satan is not going to roll over. And Satan is not going to back down, and there is going to be spiritual opposition as we send this family to the other side. And there's going to be spiritual opposition for us as well, I believe, as we support them. And so as a church, as a congregation, as a family of God, I think we need to be aware. We need to be aware, and we need to be prepared for the opposition. We need to be ready for battle. And I think that the Holy Spirit wrote Ephesians 6 for us in times like this, when he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." The Holy Spirit said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against the people there. Our struggle is against spiritual forces. Our struggle is against rulers and authorities, against powers from the dark world and the spiritual forces at work in the spiritual realm. That's what the Holy Spirit says to us in Ephesians chapter 6. And then he says, that's the reality. And so he says to us, church, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand. So that we can put on truth, and we can put on righteousness, and we can put on salvation, and we can put on faith, and we can take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we must keep praying in the Spirit on all occasions. Keep alert and always keep praying. That's the message of God to us from Ephesians chapter 6. And this month, as we focus on missions and as we lead toward the pledges that we'll be asking you to make on Celebration Sunday, we obviously are going to talk some about what is going to be required of us financially to be this sending church and to support this family. But more than that, even, we need to support this family, and we need to support this work, and we need to support this mission with the spiritual weapons that God has given us, the sword of the Spirit and prayer that goes up to the throne room of heaven. Because prayer and the Word are the weapons that God has given us. He said they're not weapons of this world. We don't fight these kind of battles with weapons of this world. We fight these kind of battles with spiritual weapons like prayer and like the Word of God. And they have the power to demolish strongholds, is what God says in 2 Corinthians. And Aniel and Elvis are going to step into a spiritual stronghold. And if we are going to be the ones who support them, we absolutely must be going ahead of them in worship and in praise and in prayer. Just like the singers went ahead of the army of Israel in the Old Testament. We must be alert, and we must keep on praying, church. But take heart. Take heart. Because the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. The gates of hell cannot and will not stand against the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is clearly at work. We have seen that every step of the way. The Holy Spirit is at work. He is the wind that is blowing through the house of Islam. And it is through prayer that his church sets their sails and catches the wind and moves alongside of the Spirit. So would you join me now as we pray? Father God, thank you so, so much that you have counted us worthy to be at work with you. And even the psalm that we read earlier, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." includes in that prayer, in that psalm, the beauty, the glory, the majesty, the power that you have. But then it's about us, and it's about us that you even care for us. Not only that you care for us, but that you have made us to be in power and authority here in this earth. That you've handed us this responsibility. And so as a congregation, we join with you. We participate with you. We stand behind you, Lord, as you lead us and as you work in this world and as you work through us. And Father, as a church, we lift up to you those that we send. We lift up to you Emily and Jeremy and Jenny, and Jason and Jen and Amelia and Aniel and Elvis and Moses, and every one of them, Father, because they are doing your work, because they have held to your testimony and to the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of them face opposition in different ways, at different levels. And as a church, we just stand beside them in prayer, believing, knowing with full confidence that it is one of the weapons you have given us. It isn't meaningless. It isn't the last resort. It isn't just something that we hope will work. It isn't any of that, Lord. It is a powerful weapon. And the prayers of your saints rising like a sweet and fragrant offering go to the throne of heaven. And in response to these prayers, we know we have seen, and in faith, we know we will see that you work and you respond and you act and you use your power and your authority to expand the borders of your kingdom. And we are thankful to be a part of it, Lord. Bless these men and women and children that are going. And bless these men and women and children who are staying here, but who are nonetheless a part of this great work. And we commit ourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, as we go forward, we will talk about Aniel and Elvis and Moses. But for their safety and their security, we won't talk about where they are now or where they are going specifically. We did that last week because we turned off the live stream. But we will not be posting much information about them in the bulletin, on the internet. We will not be talking about specifics very often in public. The thing that we will talk about openly are their names and the fact that they are going to the general location of the Medrim. And we are going to use their names because we want you to be praying for them. We want you to know their names in your head and also in your heart. And we want you to be praying for them often. So prayer, constant, alert prayer is going to be required of us as we undertake this mission. But very honestly, that is one of the reasons that we were asked to take this mission. Through the years, you have gained a reputation in the world of missions for being an outstanding sending and supporting church. And I say that to honor you, but more than that, I say that to honor God and to give Him all praise and honor for using us, for allowing us to excel in the grace of praying and in the grace of sending and in the grace of supporting. And so for just a minute, I want to talk about the financial aspect of this mission And I'm really thankful for the positive response that we have already received. I had people who are fairly new here last week stop. They don't know exactly how the mission month works, but they said, I want to know, I want to give to this. How do I do that? Some of those were college students. That thrilled my soul to know that our college students are already at a young age and struggling through school, thinking about how they can give to the mission of God and be a part of that. We've had folks who just watch us online who don't live here and have maybe never worshiped with us in person, who have contacted and said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We want to give toward that. And I'm not surprised in the least about that, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that when you do God's kingdom work, God's kingdom resources will always flow into that work. And so God is already supplying funds. There is a foundation in Virginia that has been contacted about sending these three families into the MedRim. And they said they were interested in helping, but they wanted to have some details in place. They wanted to know that the three families had supporting congregations and some other dates and details. And all of that is ready and in place. And so that foundation in Virginia is making a decision during the month of October as to how much they will support this mission. Caleb let me know on Monday that over the weekend, while he was here over the weekend, a family contacted Mission Resource Network and said they were prepared to give a significant gift over the next 5 years that they wanted to go toward this mission into the MedRim. And so as we meet our pledges, along with these two other sending churches, along with the foundation and this family, the team that is going to the MedRim will be fully funded. And so that's a blessing from God. He is working ahead, and he is preparing the way for the work that he is doing. God is at work. And if we're going to participate with him, and I know that we are, it's going to require some amount of financial sacrifice from us. The mission committee is asking for more this year than they asked for last year, because we are taking on more work. But I have every confidence that where God so clearly leads, God will also very clearly provide. And the reality is, he's asking to provide through us. So I want to ask you, I want to thank you, first of all, for your generosity. You have already given more than you pledged last year. On top of giving more than you pledged last year, when the Rollins had a special need early in this year, many of you rose to the occasion and provided for them where two of their supporting congregations had backed out. I want to let you know, on their behalf, thank you, and also that they are very, very close to having a congregation in Iowa who's ready to pick up much of that support. And one of the churches that had to bow out last year because of COVID and some other obligations has stepped back in at a smaller rate, but has stepped back in a little. And so God is providing for the Rollins, but he did much of that through you as you stepped in an emergency situation. And so I'm thankful to you. And speaking of the Rollins, we have supported Jason and Jen and their daughter Amelia for a number of years in Guelph, Canada, a university town there in Canada. And in many, many ways, the work that they do there is in one of the hardest fields in the world to work in for the kingdom right now. Because around the world, Christianity is on the rise. Around the world, Christianity is on the move in Africa and Asia and in the MedRim and in the Islamic world and across South America, across what they call the global South. The church is on the rise and on the move. The only place in the world that Christianity is in decline is in Western Europe, Canada, and America. And so the Rollins are in a hard field. They're in a hard field. They need our prayers. They need our support just as much. And I know that they know that they have that. They feel that support. The other thing that is making their work so hard is that they are under very, very stringent restrictions and regulations from the Canadian government because of COVID. But in the middle of all of that, they have stayed incredibly positive. They have been very creative and resourceful. And you're about to hear from them in a video that they have sent us that they are even seeing some good come out of all of that. Before we watch that video, I want to let you know that I have a red bracelet on this morning. Amelia, the Rollins daughter, these are gifts from her to her church family at 10th and Broad. And she would like every one of you to have one. They're in baskets on the tables as you leave. Be a great thing to wear these, especially for the rest of this month, and let it be a reminder to you to pray and pray for their well-being and pray about how God's going to use you to support them. And so let's watch this video from the Rollins, be encouraged by them, and then we'll be led in prayer.
We're the Rollins!
I'm Jason.
I'm Jen.
Amelia!
Hey there, everyone. I just want to start out by saying how much we miss you all so very much. It seems like it's been too long, and we really miss you guys. I also want to say thank you very much for your love and your support, your generosity, and your prayers that you offer up on our behalf. We really couldn't do this without you. You are such a vital part of this ministry, and I hope you realize and understand that. We couldn't do this with confidence without you, without knowing that you're behind us and that you love us and that you're thinking about us and you're praying for us often. And I especially extend our deepest gratitude to those of you who reached down deep in your pockets this year, as it was difficult for us to raise to find some new support with the pandemic. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Amelia. I'm 8 and I'm in 4th grade.
Okay, and what are some of your favorite things to do with friends?
Playing at their house, playing at parks, going to the beach, and camping.
Okay, and what are your favorite subjects in school?
Math and French. Do you want me to say a word?
Okay, say a word.
Bonjour. Yamatel Amelia.
Good job. Okay, what are some things that you like to do in your free time?
Playing with Lego and watching movies.
Okay. Have you built anything cool with Lego recently?
American Ninja Warrior recently.
Like the course?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is one of the movies you liked recently that you watched?
Monsters versus the Machine.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I miss you guys.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to respond to some pandemic questions that we've gotten. I guess the easiest way to answer is that we're okay. We do miss our families and we miss getting an opportunity to come and see all of you. But overall, we're okay. And just navigating it, taking it one day at a time. In Ontario, we've had quite a roller coaster of restrictions, and we took kind of a moderate approach and more of a day-to-day decision-making process. We did not decide at any point this is what we're going to do or this is not what we're going to do. We tried to make the best decision within the moment of who we were interacting with and trying to kind of be available for all of those things. We just really were focused on not alienating anyone. And so if someone was being more cautious, we were cautious with them and met outside or online with them, and other people who are willing to meet in our homes or at our home, because we got some outdoor seating to help facilitate some of that navigating process, because it changes all the time for what we're allowed to do or not allowed to do. Amelia is doing pretty well. We see a lot of people still. there are a lot of, most of our restrictions are for indoor type things. And so we took if we're outside, there are no rules. And that was about the only thing I was bold about and spoke up, that there had to be just a safe place, that Amelia didn't need to worry about who or what was supposed to be happening or should be happening, just a place that she could be out and be a kid. As a congregation, we last summer, in March 2020, we did go onto Zoom. We had a couple of initial early possible exposures. And so we went to Zoom, and as soon as the weather got better, we were in the park so that we could be in person, because there were very restrictive indoor things and rules. And then in the fall, we went to Zoom, and we do have some vulnerable families in our group that meet, and so that seemed like the best decision at the time. And so then the summer, as soon as the weather got better, we were back in the park, and that was great. This year, last year it happened a little bit, this year was a little more active in the park time, and so we did have some people walk up and spend some time with us and stay and chat, and so that was a good place. And we do have one new visitor that's been coming, and so that's exciting to just have that refreshed look at everything. It is starting to get rainy and cold again, and so we're in that place of, okay, the park's not going to work for much longer, and so we are going to be in person this fall, most of us. There are still a few families who will not be joining us in person, and so we will have some sort of video type online option for them to join us. And so this fall will actually be two groups meeting in two different neighborhoods, and so we're hoping that that will allow for us to continue to grow and be a presence in our communities.
I want to talk about over the last year and a half, I've had the opportunity to be able to meet with some ministers, mostly here in Ontario, but there's a couple out west in Alberta as well. And we get together on Zoom over lunch every other Tuesday. And we just chat, we talk about what's going on in our congregations, the decisions that we're having to make, all the different things that are going on, and try to find mutual support and encouragement in each other, which has been super important over this last year and a half. It has actually shown me how important it is to find encouragement, to seek encouragement, but also to give that same encouragement back. So it's been a real blessing to be able to be a part of that group and to be able to find a brotherhood with people who are in ministry and trying to figure this stuff out as well as I am. Earlier this year, I was reminded of a ministry. It's called Nightlight. Yes, kind of like one of these things. You know, you've probably seen one of these. You plug it in the wall and you turn it on, and at nighttime, it shines just a little tiny bit of light in the darkness to help you find your way around. Well, the gentleman that started this ministry, he's from Kingston, Ontario, which is east of Toronto. And he was looking around at the church and realizing, and this is his own words, he said that caring for the poor, it seemed, had been left to the government. And that really struck me, and that sat with me this whole year, because it's more than just taking care of the poor. It seems like preaching the gospel and reaching out to people just in kindness and love and generosity has been left to the government or off to the margins. And it seems like churches have lost their vision of God's mission. And I don't know if that's true or not, but there is one thing that I absolutely know for certain, is that we here, my family, has not forgotten our mission. And that is to be nightlights in the darkest of nights and in the darkest of places by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving grace of God in this place and at this time.